Israel, Am Ishma Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you today transcribed from Hollywood under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Human Element, starring Jeff Chandler as Ira, was written by Will Loren.
It seems there's a connecting link between sympathy and passion, between form and failing, between action and ambition. Of course, it's the human element. Everybody knows that. Well, not quite everybody. I didn't at first, and by the time I found out, well, this is my story. Me, I'm an enthusiastic type of fellow. I always have been, and if I'm not careful, I always will be. It's like my mother used to say.
I have three sons. The oldest, a poet, a born poet. The second, a genius in mathematics, no doubt about it. And Ira? Well, Ira is enthusiastic.
And why shouldn't I be? I have the three things in life I want most. I always wanted to be an agronomist, and now I am. And a good one, too. Second, I'm betrothed to the most beautiful girl in the world, and also the smartest. And third, I live in Israel, where everyone is enthusiastic. Of course, a person who's not enthusiastic should live somewhere else. The jungles of Africa, the North Pole, you know, someplace where life is easy. Now, for instance, the other day I was present at a conference of high government officials where the second deputy undersecretary of commerce said to me,
Ira, my boy.
A very important man. Notice the enthusiasm.
Ira, we're proud of you. The program for peanut production is a tremendous success. I don't have to tell you what this means for our export situation.
And the second deputy undersecretary of agriculture said,
My boy.
An even more important man. He's my boss.
We in agriculture are doubly proud of you. After all, we conceived this program, so naturally we're pleased with its success. However, I must remind the gentleman from Commerce that we're more concerned with home consumption than export. And furthermore,
I beg your pardon. Let me explain to you the rudiments of balance of trade.
Well, evidently I have to explain something to you. Now look here.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
You don't realize that our peanut crop is a highly desirable export commodity.
But you don't realize how many uses we have for this crop right here in Israel. Why, the peanut oil alone.
There. Isn't that a lovely discussion? So many possibilities. Such enthusiasm. Of course, it's very satisfying to be in a position where the only disagreement is how to make the most of success. Well, that's how it is today. Unfortunately, I'm afflicted with a good memory, and I remember, how clearly, that only 5 years ago the discussion wasn't quite so delightful.
Ira!
That's the same gentleman from Commerce. He was only third deputy then.
What's the matter with our peanut production?
How do you mean?
What do you mean? How do I mean? There is no peanut production. Don't you know we need exports?
If you will permit me, please, this is our problem.
That's my boss again, before he was promoted.
Ira, my boy, never mind about the exports. Now, you're an agronomist, so you know all the reasons we need peanuts right here at home. Don't you, my boy?
Oh, yes, sir. As I see it, there are nine basic values. One...
Then why aren't we growing any?
Well, sir, the farmers don't want to grow them.
Ira, my boy, I want you to go in your Jeep and make a tour of the country.
Oh, but, sir, I... But you see, I...
You have to persuade the farmers to cooperate with this program. It's really very simple. What were you going to say?
Sir, I just came back from a tour of the country.
I'm giving you a second chance. You want to be an agronomist?
Oh, yes, sir.
So get out there and agronomize.
I must confess, at that point, I was feeling just a little less enthusiastic than usual. In fact, I was discouraged. As I said to my bride-to-be, Ruth...
I know, dear. You're discouraged.
I am? I mean, I am, but how do you know?
No enthusiasm.
Oh.
Ira, would you be offended if I... may I offer you some advice?
Why should you be an exception?
Well, you know I think you're the most wonderful person in the world. And certainly the smartest man in the agriculture department.
Well, my boss thinks not so highly.
Well, it seems to me you've gone about this the wrong way.
Oh, Ruth, dear, you're very sweet to try to help me, but really, you don't know the problems, and I do.
I had in mind people.
Please, no psychology.
Well, all right. Why do people emigrate to Israel?
No philosophy either. Let's stick to peanuts.
Ira, you're dampening my enthusiasm. That's better. Now then, why do people come to Israel?
Freedom.
What else?
Hope.
Well, there's another, a very big reason. To be individuals.
So?
Well, it seems to me you've gone about your job thinking that facts alone would be convincing.
But the facts are convincing, if only people would pay attention.
Well, they will pay attention if you will bear in mind that each person is an individual. And they must be approached differently.
Well, I get so carried away by the possibilities of peanuts as a crop that I'd just get carried away, I guess. Can I help it? I'm an enthusiast.
I'm glad you said that. Now, do you know how the dictionary defines an enthusiast?
You mean where you have a bookmark already?
It says, the term sometimes implies a subordination of judgment to enthusiasm. Ira, the human element. Although we all do have the same hopes for our country, even in Israel, there are no two people alike.
Even in Israel? Especially in Israel. So, off I went on my second chance. But this time, in addition to being armed with facts and figures, I made a list of all the people who had turned me down before. At Ruth's suggestion, next to each name, I put down what I remembered about them. Their personal likes and dislikes, their backgrounds, their interests. And whenever I had a few minutes, I read a little bit in the book Ruth gave me as a good luck gift. What book? That's right, the one by Dale Carnegie, Hebrew translation.
I'm sorry, Ira. Our land is already being put to good use. Isn't that right, Anna?
That's right.
Benjamin, I don't mean to be nosy, but I was walking around this afternoon and, well, you know that back section over there?
On the west boundary?
Yes.
Well, what about it?
Well, there's about 200 dunams there, and I didn't notice anything growing there.
That's all been decided. That 200 dunams is earmarked for cotton. Isn't that right, Anna?
That's right, for cotton. More tea, Ira?
Oh, no, thanks. Benjamin, why don't you give it a try? Peanuts, I mean.
If you're going to try a new crop, what difference should it make whether you grow one or the other?
All right. I'll tell you what difference it makes. This is a successful kibbutz, wouldn't you say?
Oh, certainly.
It's thriving, busy. Are people happy here?
Yes, but...
All right. Now, do you remember what it was like when we first came here?
You mean it was barren?
Barren. Not only was there nothing growing here, nothing could grow here. We spent almost a whole year just clearing away the rocks before we could even start planting. Tell him, Hannah. Tell him what it was like.
Backbreaking.
And heartbreaking. All right. We would do it again if we had to. We'd go through it all again, gladly. Put roads in the wilderness and crops in the desert. But for what? For grain, yes. For dairy, yes. For fruit, yes. But for peanuts? Is this the staff of life? Is this the milk and the honey?
No, I see what you mean.
After all, Hannah, a man has his pride.
Yes, I guess you're right.
All right, then. Well, I'm glad to see you're a reasonable man. Have some more tea.
No, thanks. You're right, Benjamin. A man has his pride.
Of course.
Unfortunately, that's only half the problem.
What's the other half?
A woman's pride.
What have women got to do with it?
Well, oddly enough, for a woman, peanuts could mean more than milk and honey.
Ira, the discussion is closed. I don't want to hear any more about your...
Excuse me. Ira, what did you mean for a woman?
Hannah, they tell me you're a good cook. What do you use for baking and for frying?
Well, it's a problem. Most of our butter has to be taken to market, so we use very little. And olive oil is so expensive.
Exactly. Now, look at this. We've been doing some testing in our laboratories. Here.
What is it?
It's a new cooking oil. Go on, smell it and taste it.
Well, so?
That's peanut oil.
Now, Hannah, the discussion is closed. You know we decided months ago that...
Excuse me. Is it expensive?
It's much cheaper than olive oil, and you don't have to use as much.
And would this really be available to us here?
If there's a big enough peanut crop, yes.
Benjamin?
Oh, no.
Benjamin?
A man has his pride.
A woman has no pride in her kitchen? Can I cook with cotton?
Oh, Hannah.
As a favor to me.
Ira, you're a scoundrel.
A year from today, you'll thank me. Hannah, would you like to keep that bottle?
Can you spare it?
It's yours, with love and kisses from the Department of Agriculture. Well, what's new, Abram?
Nothing, I'm afraid. Things are pretty much the same as when you were here last.
Oh, it's difficult, huh?
Well, I don't have to tell you the problem with growing young trees out here. Yes, it takes time, and more water than we can spare, and a less sandy soil than we have here.
I know. Well, I don't blame you for trying. After all, growing trees, that's really something special.
That's it exactly. I grew up in a city, and well, there were some trees there, of course, one here, one there, but all my life I had an image, row after row of trees as far as the eye could see.
Oh, it's a beautiful picture.
Isn't it? You know, in the old days, whenever I had trouble sleeping, I would lie in bed, close my eyes, and concentrate. Pretty soon, would you believe it? Pretty soon, I could just hear that lovely sound. Trees rustling at night. And that would put me to sleep. Would you believe it?
I believe it.
And now, look. 3 years we've been working at it, and look at those scrawny things. Ah, my orchard.
But you're doing fine, Abram. In another few years...
Another few years.
Well... That's one thing that must be said about peanuts. You see results in one season. All the things that work against trees here, the soil, the lack of water, it doesn't matter with peanuts. You could have a fully grown crop, a valuable crop, in one season.
Really?
And the government will take all you can grow at a good price.
In one season?
That's right. Say, you know something?
What?
I just left Beth Shan. There's a settlement there, one of the older ones, of course, and... They're planning some crop changes. They want to sell off some of their young trees for transplanting. They have more than they need.
How young?
Oh, on the average, they're 3-4 years older than yours. And next year, they'll still be young enough to be transplanted successfully.
Oh, it would be wonderful to see results sooner, but I don't see how we could manage it.
Avram, you could earn enough from a peanut crop here the very first year to buy maybe 50 trees.
You think so?
I do.
We'll do it.
Good.
Do this. Do that. How about this? Try that. 28 years I've been a farmer in Israel, and for 28 years I've been getting suggestions.
No, Muttle, wait a minute.
Oh, you wait a minute. Who knows better what grows well around here? You desk farmers in Tel Aviv, or the real farmers who live right here?
Well, you do, of course.
Oh, that's right. Me and my neighbors who've been here for years. But do you think my neighbors give me suggestions, even though they do know what it's like around here?
They wouldn't dare.
What do you mean they wouldn't dare? You think I'm more hard-headed or something?
No.
Of course not. I'm a reasonable man, approachable. I'm just fed up with the suggestions from the government, that's all.
Have we ever steered you wrong?
That's not the point. Every week it's something new. pamphlet number 247. Have you tried our new chemical fertilizer for spring planting? Pamphlet number 981. Tractors are now available on short-term rentals at nominal cost. Write for information. That'll be the day I'll ask you schoolboys for information. And now, peanuts!
You don't like the idea?
No!
Uh-huh. You know about the change in the subsidy situation with peanuts.
I don't care how much subsidy the government is offering. I wouldn't grow peanuts if they offered...
There's no subsidy at all.
And another thing. If you think for one minute I... No subsidy?
Not if you don't want it.
Well, I must say you have your nerve. No subsidy.
Not a penny.
And you expect to persuade farmers to try a new crop with no...
Oh, there is an inducement.
What? A year's supply of government pamphlets bound in leather?
3 tons of grain fodder for every ton of peanuts produced.
Yeah.
That's right. 3 for 1. You know, I just left your neighbor over there.
Jacob?
Yes, Jacob. He's making pretty big plans for his new crop. But then, those are beautiful cows he has there, and I guess he wants that fodder.
He has beautiful cows? Have you seen my herd?
Oh, yes, I have.
Is that the best dairy herd in Mahalal or not?
So far, yes. But once Jacob starts the exchange 3 for 1, don't forget why he's...
No, not so fast.
But, Muttle, you know how people are. Jacob is a pretty independent man. Once he makes up his mind to do something for his herd, nothing can stop him. He even
told me... All right. You'll have 50 tons from us. Now I'll get back to work. Goodbye, Ira.
Only 50 tons? And you, a farmer, 28 years? Well, a greenhorn could do better with one hand tied behind
his... If you don't watch your tongue, you're liable to get 250 tons from us. Now go on back to Tel Aviv and plow your little furrow between the desks. All right, go on.
But I wasn't quite ready to go back to my desk. Not for another month, in fact. Just now, I was on my way to one of the newer kibbutzim between Biri and Kesufim. I had a double reason for coming back here. For one thing, this was one of the few collectives that had agreed to plant peanuts on my first trip around. By this time, they would already have finished harvesting, and I wanted to see how they made out. For another, I wanted to see my old school friend, David, who lives there. David isn't a farmer at all. He's the settlement's safety officer. And it's quite a responsible post he has. You see, this particular settlement is just 1 mile from the Gaza Strip.
Halt!
Aren't you going to say who goes there? Take the light out of my eyes, you idiot.
Ivra! Ivra, how are you?
It's good to see you, David. They told me you were on guard duty tonight.
Yes, most nights, Ivra. Well, what brings you out our way?
Well, the peanut crop, of course.
Let's go up on that ridge. We can sit down there for a few minutes anyway.
Oh, fine.
Ivra.
Yeah?
About that business last year.
Oh, that's what I want to talk to you about. Do you still feel the same way?
No, I was wrong. When you were here last year and the question of the new crop was being discussed, I'm afraid my arguments against it were rather childish.
Oh, not childish, a little romantic, perhaps. To tell you the truth, I was never quite sure if you were serious or if you were kidding me.
You mean when I protested against risking my life for peanut?
Yeah.
Believe me, Ira, I half meant it. Something about the idea that just rubbed me the wrong way.
Well, naturally. I'm sure if I'd been in your shoes, well, it would seem rather absurd. What made you change your mind?
You remember what you said about this crop giving work to new immigrants, to inexperienced immigrants?
Yeah.
A month after you left, Ira, we got over 400 new people.
Oh.
I've seen this happen before. Immigrants come in and they want to be farmers. They'd rather be farmers in Israel than anything else in the world. but they're not prepared for it, Ira. Physically, I mean. Most of them have never done manual labor before, and in the past, it's been terribly discouraging asking them to do work unlike anything they've ever done before.
Yes.
After all, it takes time, Ira, to toughen up, to learn the ropes.
Well, I can see what must have happened.
Exactly. Here was a crop that had to be worked by hand. The work was certainly essential, still it wasn't so backbreaking as to discourage a raw farmer with blisters on his hands. Now they're used to working outdoors, and they're used to working with their hands.
It's wonderful.
You know, Ira, the day the harvest was finished, Aaron, old Aaron, bless him, proposed a toast to the new farmers. "We're proud of you," he said. "Israel is proud of you." Oh, Ira, you should have seen their faces.
Yeah.
I'll have to take a look around. You'll be here for a while?
Overnight. I'll see you at breakfast. Mm,
certainly. It'll be breakfast for you, but supper for me.
All right. How do I get back over here?
Yeah, that's right. Keep bearing left. Ira, that's the path for very important people.
Oh? Well, all of a sudden, I'm a VIP?
We think so. Good night, Ira.
Good night, David. Not interested. 300 byproducts? Not interested.
Puts nitrogen back in the soil?
Not interested.
Elisha, this is my last stop before I go back. Why are you giving me such a hard time?
Don't take it personally.
It's quite a plant, you know. It gives us vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C.
Ira, you're a nice fella, but I'm
not interested. Yes, I know. All right. Nothing more to say.
You mad?
No, of course not. We'll just have to send the machinery back to Kenya, that's all.
Hmm?
So long, Elias. I'll be seeing you.
Well, what did you say?
I said I'll be seeing you.
No, before that, about the machinery.
Oh, that. I didn't mention it before?
No.
Well, we got the machinery for peanut production from the British. It seems they bought a lot of equipment when they tried to grow peanuts in Kenya, but they couldn't make a go of it there. So we acquired the machinery for very little money. But I guess we're no better farmers than they are.
Well, that's how it goes.
So long, Elisha.
Wait a minute. From Kenya?
That's right, from Kenya. Well, here's my trusty little Jeep. Bye.
All right. Send down some plants.
What did you say? I can't hear you.
Well, turn off your motor and you'll hear me. I said, send down some plants.
For how many dunams?
Oh, let's say 300.
With all your land? Not interested.
400.
Not interested.
All right. Send enough for 500 dunams.
That's more like
it. Ira, they couldn't make a go of it, huh?
So it seems. This amuses you?
Make it 600.
Well, that's the way of the world. Or at least that's the way with a new crop in Israel. Oh, I've learned a lot these past few years. Facts and figures are important. But the human element? As I said to my wife only the other day, Ruth.
Yes, dear?
You know the dictionary definition of the word human?
I see you already have a bookmark there. So go ahead.
It says, frequently connoted the common sympathies, passions, or failings of men. Their forms, actions, ambitions.
Well?
Hmm? Oh, nothing. I just thought you'd like to know. That's the way of the world.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Charles Crown, officer of the University of Judaism in Los Angeles. Mr. Crown.
As Ira says in the play, facts and figures are important, but the human element, that is really important. In the young democracy of Israel, all these statistics would not mean much if the people had not always been ready to do the impossible, and if unstinting help had not come from American Jewry through the United Jewish Appeal. In the nearly 8 years since Israel came into being, the people have recorded almost incredible achievements, particularly in development of the land, which had been barren for thousands of years. The object of the intense agricultural development program have been to supply food for a vastly increased population and to speed the absorption into productive work of the immigrants who poured in and doubled the country's population in 7 years. The human element, the people's willingness to do everything they could to build freedom, to keep Israel's gates open, to make any sacrifice in order to take in all who needed to come to Israel from lands of oppression, spurred them to make the vast, overwhelming, difficult dream of making the desert bloom a reality. Like our American pioneers, Israel's people were ready to sacrifice their own comforts to open up more land for those who need to come. Despite every problem that confronts them, the people of Israel are determined to keep the gates open for the scores of thousands in tension-ridden lands who want and must go there. They are equally determined that those who arrive will get an immediate opportunity to become productive citizens in the new settlements begun by those who came before them.
Thank you, Mr. Crown. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Human Element, was written by Will Lauren. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Jeff Chandler was starred as Ira. Featured in the cast were Irene Tedrow, Stanley Farrar, Paul Fries, Vivi Janis, Jim Nusser, Jan Arvan, Rolf Sedan, and Tom McKee. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, transcribed in Hollywood and directed by Andrew C. Love. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is Monitor, the NBC Weekend Radio Service.